Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. It has been a crazy week of football. We've got Collingwood giving up 50-point leads for a draw. The Western Bulldogs have gone completely 180. They're tagging players. Opposition rucks aren't scoring off them. And it looks like Danger could be in a bit of match review panel trouble. But to help us with that and everything else is, as always, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Well, I'm probably in more trouble than Dangerfield, just in general life. But I wanted to throw out a call to the listeners, boys. Bit of a see how we're going. We've had a lot of responses lately, a lot of thank yous, and some really just great stuff. We really appreciate it. But we're considering putting together a live podcast in Grand Final week. Now, we're just throwing out how much interest we'll actually have in people coming to this. If we get enough interest, we'll put it on. If we don't get any interest, we will not put it on. We'll revisit it in draft season. So if you are keen to come to a live recording of the show, it'll be a sort of comedy night. It's the You Suck podcast where we go over all our misses. It'll be in Melbourne, in the city. Just hit us up on the Twitter, hit us up on the email, hit us up on the Facebook, and just let us know, yes, I would be keen to come to this. If we get the response, like I said, we'll put it on. If we don't have the response, we'll revisit it again. But hit us up and let us know. I think it'll be a great night. It'll be a lot of fun. And see where we all went wrong. Like captaining. Well, we'll get to that later.
Not mentioning Josh Gibson. That was a good one. Good one. Good one, Steve. I'll let you go on that one. But as always, is the man from Tassie. It is the Statesman. He must be pretty cold down there because it looked pretty cold down there on Saturday afternoon against North Melbourne and the Demons.
It certainly was, gentlemen. And all I can say is the fantasy gods have played some tricks with me this week. And a few of them have been based around my own mistakes, to be fair. And the best analogy I can probably use is I've walked out to the crease ready to bat and I've forgotten my box. The first ball's come, I've played a straight bat and I've got an inside edge, gentlemen.
I thought you were going to say you went on strike.
It hurts this weekend. That is all I can say. Across the board, anything I did just turned to hell. I will say with the live show in Melbourne, I look forward to it. Probably won't be attending myself, gentlemen, because there's no point me going on a You Suck show because I don't think I made any bad calls.
It could be as bad as Warnie's
French state.
Hey, mate, yes. He's killing it in the NEFL. Killing it.
Yeah.
Hey, what was actually, if you drafted Deledio and then played his replacement value for 21 rounds, if he comes in...
Yes. No. Unfortunately, that was a bad call. Dale House, much better.
And what about Donuts Motlop? How's he going? Oh,
yeah, he was... Hey, I'll tell you what. That's the best I've seen Donuts look all year in the crowd. He looked like he was really enjoying his footy.
Jam donuts for $8 or something like that?
God, what a... there were some good ones, but that was a swing and a miss, boys.
Big swing and a miss. But a lot of news and injuries coming out of this weekend. The biggest one, with your boy there, Steve, Jesse Hogan, broken collarbone. So I think that's could miss the rest of the season.
I'd say that's the second biggest.
Second biggest?
Yeah.
I just for the show's brand, I'm going to go with Jesse Hogan as the biggest because your boy's gone with that shoulder. It's probably the season, they reckon. But the biggest one was Matty Cruiser going down in the first.
That's not the biggest. Keep going. I'll give you the biggest when we get to it.
Okay. Matty Cruiser KO'd with that, we'll call it a sling tackle, chicken wing tackle there from Paddy Dangerfield. We'll see if he gets looked at there. Jared Waite off with a calf injury as well. And Nakia Cockatoo, he was actually looking pretty good as Donuts Motlop's replacement there until he went that hammy in the fourth quarter. But not good there in terms of fantasy. But, Steve, what was the biggest one there you had?
I would suggest that it's Mr. Connor Blakely and his shoulder popping out and then not being able to continue. That looks like big trouble.
It was just, I didn't actually see that, so I just thought it was a dislocation. I just couldn't pop it back in, but thought he went back on.
Well, he went back on, and then he went straight back off. He was, he was in a lot of pain.
Okay, so dislocated shoulder. He might be a week on that one, I'd say.
We'll see.
We will see, but that's not too good. I didn't actually see that Freo game, so not good for Connor Blakely at all. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals, Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups there. Or check out the Facebook page. Just search in The Draft Doctors on the search button there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups for round 20. And when we do talk about the waiver wires, we are using our 65% rule on Ultimate Footy. Just for those who in the deeper leagues have a bit of a chance to pick these players up. So kicking off us off as usual, Steve, fire away, pal.
Well, I know things start to get a bit thin at this time of year, boys. I know the Statesman's a bit over the waivers, and I've got to say, looking through it this time of year, it's thinner than the top of my head, boys. really scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but we'll kick it off with a forward. Drew Petrie, 64% owned, listed as a forward. He's playing solo ruck today. It looked like he had a pretty good score going at three-quarter time. I didn't see what it finished up at. Is that a ton? Did he get a ton?
Over a ton.
Yeah, so that's pretty handy. We don't know what the situation with the Vardy and all that is, so I certainly think Drew Petrie is a pretty handy pickup if you didn't manage to scoop him up at the end of last week. I'll give you a forward, Ben Brown. 57% owned. Jared Waite's gone down. They're playing Collingwood this week. Isn't it funny? We've got two teams that might be heading two different ways emotionally. The Pies drew a game. They're up at 50 points in. And North have had an absolute barnstorming win. I reckon they're going to feed Benny Brown, get him that Coleman medal at the very least. They've got nothing else to play for particularly. Under the Dome, I like his odds of kicking a few goals. Midfielder, Luke Dunstan, 65% ownership, back-to-back tons. If he's still available, pick him up, although under the Dome this week. But, I mean, he's scoring well, what can you say? Defender, Aaron Mullett, we've mentioned him every week for the past 17 months, 65% ownership. But he's playing the Pies this week, has a good matchup. How about that? I like that. Defender, Jimmy Webster, 47% owned in the Saints defence. Certainly pretty handy there. We know he was scoring well earlier. Ryan Bastanac, midfielder, 62% ownership. Midfielder, Sam Petreski-Seaton, 41% ownership. Don't love it, but he has got a midfield role. So if you're getting desperate, he's one to look at. And just on the back burner, boys, Jacob Hopper, 40% ownership. He's played in the NEAFL. He's had 22 touches, listed as a forward. Steve Johnson is washed. So if you're running through to around 23, I might consider him.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And Statesman, who have you got there on your waiver wire pickups?
Yes, I've picked up a player for each line, two of them being covered in Benny Brown and Lukey Dunstan for my forward and midfield waiver wire. So I'll go through a ruck and a defender. So the ruckman, Dawson Simpson. So while Mummy's out, Dawson Simpson's going to be the main man, scored 98 this week and only owned by 18%, so available in the majority of leagues. So if you're struggling or got Mummy or having, unfortunately, a pretty unstable ruck line, then Dawson Simpson might be a fix for a couple of weeks for you, especially first week of finals. Cameron Sutcliffe is the defender, gentlemen. We just talked about the injury to Connor Blakely. Cameron Sutcliffe normally averages around the 75 to 80 mark, and now he's got his roll back on the half back line. We already know he scores well, 99 this week against GWS, which is the hardest team to score against, and he's only owned by 22%. So that's Cameron Sutcliffe, defender for Fremantle. They're my waiver wires, gentlemen.
Yeah, and I've also got from Fremantle, Luke Ryan, only owned in 30% of teams. Took 14 marks on the weekend against the GWS, especially against that tall timber. That's fantastic. Freo are playing the Gold Coast this weekend, so if the Gold Coast Suns are just going to blaze away, you could probably take about 50 marks on the weekend and gather about 20 odd possessions, which he did as well. Scored quite well in both formats. Look for Luke Ryan in his first year, and old Rossi boy rested him after the three games last week, so he should play out the rest of the season. We've mentioned this guy before. It's Jack Darling, only owned in 44% of teams. As Steve's been banging on, he's kicked two goals in just about every game so far this year. He's done it again this week against the Brisbane Lions. Up against the Saints this week, so should be able to get on the end of the few. Yes, if that Eddie had, but we'll see how this... They actually don't play too bad at Eddie had, the West Coast Eagles, so Darling for me on that one. And Jeffy Garlett, in 42% of teams as a small forward against the GWS. We saw the Freo players, the small forwards of the Freo players kick a few snags and get plenty of possession. So I think Jeffy Garlett can get the job done as well. But I did also have Benny Brown and Jimmy Webster for mine as well. But it certainly is getting harder and harder to get these waiver wire pickups, especially when we are going into fantasy finals. And if you get locked out, it's hard to pick these players up.
Yeah, I can't say. Just on that, I think that we've been using defenders against GWS pretty nicely. And who's the Dawson? They'll be up against Gorn this week.
Ooh.
So
he'll still score his 70 odd points.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's good cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you are loving the show, please, we are on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And if you've got a couple of minutes, hit the review button there. Drop us a nice review. It helps our brand. Hit the subscribe button as well. That way, each week, all the episodes just drop straight to your iPhone, your iPad, or computer, or whatever it is. And sorry, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, if you could leave a review and you haven't done it, definitely do it. We're like three away from 50. That'd be awesome to get to 50 before the end of the season.
Get the half century. At least someone's raising bats in this country, unlike our cricket players.
All my fantasy players this week, John.
Well, especially your captain, but we'll get to that very soon.
We will.
But we are talking a bit of a review of Round 19, and that kicked off on Friday night with the Hawks taking on the Swans. As another cracking match between the two teams, only a kick in it with the Hawks again getting up. Isaac Smith was brilliant, getting you over the 110 in both formats. Liam Shields has gone right under the radar, putting together quite a nice fantasy season. Got you the tons in both formats. Jared Rufford... probably the first time in a long time I've called his name. Got your 113 Dream Team, 130 Supercoach. Thought he was fantastic. James Sicily went forward, kicked a couple of goals, also took quite a few marks as well down back. So he's becoming quite the swing man. Just under the ton in Supercoach. Got you the ton in Dream Team. Luke Hodge, some very nice scores. The ton in Dream Team for you, just under a ton in Supercoach. Big Boy McAvoy, out of nowhere, those late ruck pickups have been fantastic for everyone this year. Got to the ton in Supercoach. Dan Hare, a couple of good games late. Got to the ton in Supercoach as well. And so did Jarre and Burton. But Tommy Mitch, under the ton in both formats for probably the first time this year, I would say. So not a good night for Tommy Mitch against his old team there.
No, and for Sydney Swans, not a fantastic game. Just a bit of a repeat of the last time they played Hawthorn, actually. And just after everyone started putting Nick Newman back on the waiver wire or trade him out or actually just put him on the bench, pumped out a first ton in quite a while, 111 Nick Newman done. And it's all about role, gentlemen. This boy can play, can get the footy, but if he's not playing a decent role, he's not going to score big. And, of course, a bit of a few issues this weekend, just got the opportunity.
Was that because of Lloyd being the out, you think?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think you'll find that a bit of a change in their structure over the last few weeks has actually limited both Lloyd and Newman, and they actually got to share that role, so they're sharing the points. As soon as Lloyd's out, all of a sudden they got the opportunity to take up the role again and scored some points. So just be mindful of that when Lloyd comes back. Obviously, both of them have been hampered quite a bit. Luke Parker continued his good form with a 105, and certainly good value. His average is 96 for the year, so a fair bit lower than what expected. So it's a bit of a bargain, especially in your keeper leagues. If you're out of the final, start shopping now. Maybe give someone that's could help someone win a premiership and lock away Luke Parker, because his value will rise next year when he gets a full preseason under his belt. Papley continued his great form as well, scoring a ton. Rampy's been quite good in defence in the last few weeks, gentlemen, getting 92. And then a long list of disappointing scores for the Sydney Swans players. Heaney, who's been spending a fair bit more time up forward, the good thing for that, it means he will keep his forward status for next year. He scored a 78. Kieran Jack, who had about a month of fantastic scores, has dropped away the last couple of weeks just with a 70. And I think that long-term career is close to being over, gents. Lance Buddy Franklin had a bit of a shocker, only 68. Dan Han is dropped right away yet again. So he had a slow start, a bit of a bump in the middle, and he's having a slow finish, only 59 for him. And we did miss in the news that it looks like it's a hamstring injury to JPK. Looks like it'll be out for a couple of weeks. Only scored 47 out of 97 minutes scoring time. And his average against Hawthorn has been quite remarkable. So there certainly would have been a few people that put the big VC option on JPK this weekend and would have been disappointed with that result.
Yeah, and I was one of them who had the VC on JPK and hasn't worked for the last couple of weeks, actually. But moving on to the early game on Saturday afternoon, it was down in the Statesman's home state there in Tassie. It was North Melbourne taking on the D's. And North Melbourne, I don't think they've lost to the D's since about 2005, 2006. It was just quite an interesting game of football, Steve.
Yeah, it really was. I thought it was actually just first. Statesman, is Tasmania still where it was? It didn't blow over to like become a third island of New Zealand, did it?
No, it's actually been slowly heading north, trying to relink with Victoria. Seeing you guys had a bit of a wet and windy weekend, we just follow.
It was just very windy. It was quite pleasant this weekend.
The old Wall Street theory: if Wall Street sneezes, our markets catch a flu, and that's exactly what happens when you guys have got poor weather, then we just get poorer weather.
Well, anyway, it was really poor effort by North Melbourne because apparently they're tanking, so that went all wrong for them. They'd be really upset with all their leaders playing so well. Wasn't it amazing? Whoever wrote that article, just give your head a shake. Jack Siebel took a week off after getting battered and bruised for a fortnight and came back and was fantastic, 96-116. Luke McDonald continues his fantastic form as one of the best sleeper picks of the year, giving you 105 Dream Team, 109 Supercoach. Andrew Swallow, the rebirth continues, looking to get himself another year of AFL footy, gave himself a nice Dream Team time and 131 Supercoach, if you don't mind. Sean Higgins really should be getting tagged in these kind of matchups. He got you the ton in both form. And big-time Benny Brown, doing it for his home crowd, got the four snags, took the lead in the Coleman, well, shared the lead in the Coleman. You still got it, or did Joe Danaher go past him today?
Danaher went past him this afternoon.
Well, I hope they feed him and give it to that bloke. He got you the 93 and 94 Supercoach. Jared Waite's calf. Jared Waite getting injured again. Seems like every week he gets injured. Someone's shaking their head. I can't imagine who it is. Who knows what that brings. So it looks like they'll continue to play Majak, and who knows what they'll do with Pruce and Goldstein. Just quickly, guys, like the look of young Jai Simpkin. Looks to have all the tricks of the trade. not sure he's going to be a fantasy gun for a couple of years, but I can see him doing something. So I wouldn't just grab him in the keeper league just yet. Just a black booker.
Just wait and see. But on the D side, this guy, Clayton Oliver, second year of football, absolutely fantastic. Someone put up his super coach scores this year. I think there was maybe three or four under the ton this year. Went just a lazy 170 in super coach this week and a 128 in dream team. Big Maxi Gorn, had no real opposition. Got you just over the 110 in both formats, played into a bit of form. Jordan Lewis just playing that open space in front of Benny Brown, so taking a lot of marks there in defence. Got you the 1-7 Dream Team, 119 Supercoach. Michael Hibbert has been really fantastic this year. Didn't turn up as Supercoach, but got you one in Dream Team. Neville Jetta, even though he caught the knock, just went under the ton with a 98 in Supercoach. And Tommy Mack, Dom Tyson, and Jaden Hunt also got you some pretty nice scores as well in both formats. But the middle game there, or the normal 210 game, we had GWS taking on the Freo Dockers. Freo were pushed GWS pretty hard up and right until that last quarter until they fell away, and the GWS ran away with it.
They did, in very unconvincing fashion. They were challenged all day. Freo played pretty well, and they won despite their poor goal kicking and even poorer defence. The only Dream Team ton, gentlemen, was by one Steve Coniglio, playing his first game since round 8. Quite remarkable. Got to the 88 Supercoach to go along with it, but 9 clearances and 12 contested possessions. His importance to this team can't be understated. Dylan Shield was very good again. He got to the 91 Dream Team and 115 Supercoach, and I think Coniglio, the numbers show that Coniglio is going to affect Shield more than other players. But his 84% disposal efficiency got you a very nice Dream Team score this week. What we can expect going forward, well, that's all up to Dylan's disposal and what he does with it, I guess. Josh Kelly, very good in the last, got you a decent score. I'm just starting to wonder whether all these guns are just going to start giving us very even performances across the board. You won't be able to peg who the outlier scorer will be on a week-to-week basis. So what it's going to be for GWS owners, whether it's your Scully or your Ward or whoever. So I think you can expect between 90 and 105 most weeks, and you might get lucky and get that 120. Hey, Shaw is just a dumpster fire at this point in time.
bit of Brendan Goddard finger pointing as well at the end of that match too.
Oh my God! What a fall! I can't believe it. Dawson Simpson was fine. Got you the 90s in both formats with 44 hitouts. Very nice. Will Setterfield got a concussion early. Will Setterfield, the high draft pick. So I think he'll probably miss next week. Brett Delidio's had a couple of games, played very well in the seconds from all reports. Jacob Hopper's due to come back probably in a week or two as well. So the big guns are coming in at the right time for GWS. Whether they can bond and gel and get enough run in their legs, time will tell. But that's about to happen, I think, if they can defend.
And for Freo, the defence actually did quite well. Ryan, we talked about before, as a waiver wire option, scored a magnificent 138, one out of the box. Unfortunately, not too many teams would have been able to utilise that 138, unfortunately. But certainly, I think his role, seeing Connor Blakely's going to be out, should be to take those loose in defence marks. So I think that's going to be the bonus for Connor Blakely being out. Nat Fyfe, again, he's been up and down a little bit in recent times, played a pretty good game, scored 120. Tucker, 107. Of course, if your name's Lockie and you play for Fremantle, they should be in your team. Neil got 106. Weller got 94. We talked about on the waiver wire, Sutcliffe, 99. And of course, the two Hill brothers continue good form for the Freo Dockers, 97 and 95 for the oldest, then the youngest gentleman.
Yeah, just on you saying, Steve, that you think GWS is going to gel. What's in that last quarter? There was actually a lot of finger pointing and blaming going on there. So it was actually quite interesting to watch, actually on field. So whether they can get it together and push this flag that they've apparently got in the bag, it'd be very interesting.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting with guys like Delidio coming into the team. I mean, he would want a flag more than anyone, but there were some pretty selfish acts. Like, Heath Shaw was doing most of it, to be honest. So, I mean, these guys should want it. I mean, it's kind of there for the if they want it, but I wonder if they can. I don't know. They've certainly got all the talent, but there's someone sitting there with a wry smile. What's your take?
Yeah, it's the favoritism. It's all the high draft picks. It's unfortunately, it just breeds a culture of expectation. And then when things don't go to plan, like they haven't over the past 5 weeks, unfortunately, human nature is you look for the blame. And unfortunately, they're blaming from within. But that gives an opportunity for correction too. And there's a great opportunity for them to sit down on the week off leading into the finals, wake up to themselves and play some great footy. They're not the best team in the competition right now. They have got a long injury list. But just remember, Western Bulldogs weren't the best team in the competition last year.
There you go. You heard it here first. Statesman says GWS can't win the flag.
But speaking of blame, there would have been a bit of blame at Port Adelaide on Saturday afternoon as to why the hell weren't they all goal side with Robbie Gray there. The dying seconds, Robbie Gray kicks the winning goal. But it was quite a very even match in the end there for the Port Adelaide players, wasn't it?
That was a shocking match, let's be honest. It was a terrible game to watch. I felt like stabbing my eyeballs until the last quarter, and then...
Well, that's all I watched.
You came in at the right time, buddy. This was pretty bad. But what a cracking finish. Robbie Gray, Ryder combined for Magic. Ryder was huge all day, and for mine, he has to be in the All-Australian conversation as a ruckman. I know Matty Cruiser would be the favourite. I just think he should be in the conversation. 95 Dream Team, 130 Supercoach. The match-winning tap to Robbie Gray, 98 Dream Team, and 112 Supercoach. And when the match needed to be won, he just went and said, I'm going into the midfield and I'm going to go win this game. Jared Pollock actually had a pretty fantastic game given the conditions. Wouldn't really suit an outside player, but he got to the nice ton. He was absolutely everywhere on the ground. Played very well. Jasper Pittard, bit of form, 91 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. He is a good player, so... we'll look to see if he can continue this, which was interesting because Hamish Hartlett was going pretty well early and then had some injury issue, whether it's a tightness, I'm not sure what it was, but he slowed up and he got 70s, which is okay, I guess, but maybe that gave the opportunity to Pittard to peel off and score well. Ollie Wines got you a meh sort of game. The Talls all struggled in the poor conditions, and the fact Jake Carlisle absolutely monstered basically everyone he played on, and Travis Boak washed.
Was he even playing with Westhoff? Were they even playing? It was just too wet and cold for him.
Well, Westhoff he just got owned by Carlisle. I mean, the guy's just absolutely in sensational form.
Yeah, certainly is. And speaking of Carlisle, he was one of the blokes to get you a Supercoach ton, just under the ton there in Dream Team. Luke Dunstan, as we mentioned before, is a waiver wire pickup. Just a lazy 140 in Supercoach. Gee, I'd hate to have him on your bench if you're playing in an elimination final. 116 Dream Team for Dunstan. Sam Ross bounced back this week, got to the 109 Dream Team, 132 Supercoach. Jack Sinclair bobbed up for a nice 102 and 104, as well as Savage. Been playing pretty well, got you the Dream Team, Supercoach ton, as did Jack Billings, just under the Dream Team ton. And Jimmy Webster, mentioned there in the waiver wire pickups, got you in the 90s for a nice Supercoach score there as well. So look to get Jimmy Webster quite easily available there. But moving on to the first game on Saturday night, it was the Gold Coast taking on Richmond, and it was all about Dusty Martin.
It certainly was, but I'll quickly rattle through the Gold Coast. Not that there's much to write home about, which was pretty much the same as last week. There is one major exception, Aaron Hall. And this is typical Aaron Hall. You don't see him for a month, and then he just racks it up. 152. That's a remarkable game of footy when not one other player in the team tunned up. It's quite incredible. Pierce Hanley was the second with 96. And then a couple of notes. Good to see a couple of players hitting a little bit of form. Handsome Tom, for the first time in about 6 weeks, got over 50 and made it 88 for his score. And Jack Martin's been in magnificent form in recent times and as a dual position forward defender, averaging close to 85, gentlemen. That's certainly close to a breakout year for Jack Martin.
Yeah, certainly was. I thought he played pretty well for the Gold Coast in what eventually happened with a nice 5-goal win for the Tigers.
Yeah, just on Tom Lynch, actually, I thought I'd mention his form at home has actually been really good because we had a start-sit question with him. The only two times he had a crappy game was when it was bucketing rain. So maybe he might be a home and away kind of split guy. Just something, food for thought.
Bless him. Like 2 meter Pete, he's actually better away than he is at home. So,
role reversal. Anyway, on to Richmond, and I'm going to rename Dustin Martin Mole or Ram for anyone who's a fan of Indiana Jones, because he was just doing his thing, ripping my heart out and showing it to me before it stopped beating. Joe had him captain against us in our league of record. Actually, had him captain in the goddamn keeper league, so it wasn't all that bad. But he'll walk his way to a Brownlow medal this year with the ineligible Patrick Dangerfield. Dusty, the 112, 142, with 34 disposals and a goal. He is just unstoppable. Daniel Rioli, 3 first quarter goals, quite unbelievable, and then was... he didn't kick any more goals, but he still finished with 93 and 131. And, if you believe in him going forward, he at least showed you a ceiling. Whether the potential's there or not to move into the midfield and get more possessions, I don't know. But he at least showed you something. He might be like Cyril and a very super coach relevant player, just with the inside 50 work. Rance, Cochin, Brown, Ellis... all got you a dream team ish at 90 and got you 110 super coach ish. So around those numbers. Anthony Miles got you the same. He is playable, I think, now, gentlemen, with a very safe inside role. Jason Castagna stood up, got you the 90s in a pretty nice matchup. Bashir Hooley did all right in his first game back after the most shocking. Incident seen on a football field in over a century. Doing pretty well. I'm actually surprised Kane Lambert didn't score better in this game, guys. I thought he would have done pretty well on the inside, but maybe Miles is sort of hurting his score a little bit. I'm not sure. And look, guys, usually when I see a bus this big, it's on Baywatch. But Josh Caddy, come on.
I thought you were going to mention Vlosten there, but...
It was all right, wasn't it? You got an 80 in Dream Team. I think. That's all right. Plug and play.
Yeah, for sure. Which I certainly needed this week against you. But Saturday night at the 80-headed stadium, it was Carlton taking on the Cats. It was close for about 5 minutes, and then it was all about the Tomahawk, just bagging the lazy 6 goals for him. Just under the double supercoach ton with 192 and a 158. I'd hate to be playing against him this week in a matchup. Murdoch, he's been scoring okay in matchups, but showed us that he can score quite well with 131 Dream Team, 110 in supercoach with the 3 snags. There was tons left, right and centre in this match. I think half the team got you a ton. Mitch Duncan with the baby swag got you 117 in both formats. Zach Smith was going quite well up against Cruiser, but once he went down in that second half, it was one-way traffic. He went 110, Dream Team, 133, Super Coach. And then you got some really good scores from Scott Selwood, Andrew Mackey, Menegola, Tom Stewart, Dangerfield, who is reported and should get 4 weeks, in my opinion, for that dangerous tackle. And Joel Wood, as we know, succumbed to the tag yet again. So what do they got? Collingwood in 2 weeks' time?
Three.
So is that the grand final?
For round 22. It's round 22.
For round 22 players. So watch out. I am a Joel Wood owner, and I'm very nervous, especially the way Collingwood are throwing stuff up and the way they tagged Sloan today. So, it was all one-way traffic, and the Cats were very good.
How confident would you be? We saw the Cats move away from the two ruck setup, Jono, and Zach Smith played very well, scored fantastic, and the Cats just look, their field kicking was awesome, and they were just splitting the Blues apart. I mean, would you feel pretty happy about playing Zach Smith? Can we expect that going forward, do you think?
I haven't seen what the Cats draw is for the rest of the season, but who knows with Chris Scott? He does tend to mix and match a bit. I mean, what did we see a couple of weeks ago? We had Blixars, Reece Stanley, and Zach Smith all playing together. Generally, he likes to go with two tall setup. So we might see Reece Stanley come back in, but I'm quite happy for Chris to leave Zach Smith as that sole ruckman because he's in my Supercoach team.
Well, he should score well. That's the point.
Yeah, well, he can also rest forward and kick you a couple of goals, which he did on the weekend. So if he's in your pools, I'd be looking to grab him and put him on your bench if you need a ruck or play him. But how'd the Blues go there, Steve?
Oh, yeah, the Blues. Pretty crap, if I remember. I was watching the game, and I was like, I thought I saw 22 witches hats out there just getting split apart. I don't think they even had a Dream Team ton. Oh, sorry.
Doherty.
No. Yeah, Doherty. So Mark Murphy, Doherty, Kerridge all scored okay. Levi got you a really nice Supercoach 87 Dream Team because he's the greatest cold kicker of all time this season. Charlie Kerner and Petrescu Seaton continue to look the goods. Both have good roles. I think they'll score all right going forward. Certainly have them in a keeper league. Although SPS, probably being a midfielder, might just have to be a couple of years before he gets those good scores, but he looks a player. Gibbs got the tag again. He battled his way to a 97 in Dream Team, which I thought was really pretty good because he was looking pretty ordinary for a while. Got you the only 58 in Supercoach, and they look bad when he's not using the ball. He's had a ripping season, and if I was a Bryce Gibbs owner, I'd be feeling a little bit squeamish, to be honest. And they've got big problems if Cruz is out. There's not much in the rock stocks unless you want to put your faith in Matt Korchek.
I was going to say, is Cam Wood floating around somewhere?
I have Cam Wood's name written on my notepad. I think there's a call that needs to be made. Just throw the. I think you can just get one of those bat signals and just have a real skinny line, and Cam Wood will come to the rescue. But man, they got. I don't know what
Warnock,
they're going to
do. Is he floating around? Is he alive? Oh my God. Playing somewhere?
They'd give him 700 grand for a game. Bad news for the Carlton. I think they play Essendon this week, so start your Tommy Bell
Carlton
Chambers.
Versus Essendon. It
Tommy Bell
is.
Chambers, get the C on him.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Steve, because it was the early game at the Etihad Stadium. For those who are just new to the show, Steve and I were playing in our qualifying final in our home league. It was very tight after Saturday night. Steve,
you had a lead, but not. It was tight.
It was tight. Steve put the old captain on Zach Merritt. The Western Bulldogs just went full 180, deciding to tag Zach Merritt. He scored about 25, I don't know, just something ridiculous. Tom Bell Chambers didn't even get a 50, I don't believe, up against the mighty Western Bulldogs ruck division. It was just all over the shop. I don't know what the hell happened. But all I do know is the Doggies come out on top. They're knocking on the door of the eight, going to go back-to-back. Shane Biggs just cleaning up everything in defence there now. Got you 115 both formats with 11 marks. He was fantastic. Lucky Hunter playing into some sort of fantasy form. Coming to the back end of the year, got you the Dream Team ton, the 88 in Supercoach. He's slowly building. Don't think I'll be able to get that Palmer off you, Steve, but I will in our best
bet.
You're
already paid out.
That's true, like I said. It was role reversals. It was Jordan Rufford got you the tons in there as the ruck in this game. Got you 127 Supercoach, 104 Dream Team. Jay McRae getting it done. Tons in both formats. The Bont, his set shot kicking for goal this year has been absolutely horrendous, but got the sealer, or one of the sealers, so he got upscaled as Supercoach massively to 123. Didn't even ton up in Dream Team. JJ got you the four goals, playing as a forward, only the 19 Dream Team, but got you the ton in Supercoach and did some pretty nice things because Essendon weren't tagging and letting him do whatever the hell he wanted.
And although Essendon lost this game, gentlemen, they won the fantasy scoring, which is the most important thing to do. Joey Danaher knocked out 127 and lifting his average to 90 for the year, gentlemen. That is certainly a fantasy breakout year for Joey Danaher, and things are going to be huge. If you haven't got him in a... Yeah, and if you haven't got him in a keeper, see if you can snaffle him because he's only going to get bigger. Hurley continued his great form with 122. Zaka, he's either up or he's down. He's certainly first quarter was outstanding. I think he was close to 40 points at quarter time. Ended up scoring 112. Dyson Heppel looked like he was going to score a massive score early. Just kept on being that sort of link-up player. Ended up finishing off just over the ton. Brennan Goddard continued his tonning form, 103 for him. Darcy Parrish looks the good gentleman, and he's going to continue probably with a forward status next year because of the role with all the stars back. But I think you'll find he'll get a fair bit of midfield time next year. So he's certainly a key asset and should be in the first 4 to 5 rounds in next year's season drafts, I do believe, Darcy Parrish. Fantasia 92 and Zach Merritt, as we know, was tagged effectively out of the game, but ended up squeezing out an 82. So it's a subpar score for what we think is one of the elite scorers.
Yeah, how smart was I thinking? So I got in my team, I got a Doherty and Tom Mitchell on Saturday night. I'm like, how smart was I? Didn't put it on Doherty or Mitchell. I only got 98 and 100.
Merritt's going to go 130 because the doggies don't tag and give up midfield points.
Mate, the amount of messages I got on Twitter today saying Merritt screwed me was something else to believe. I had to turn off my notifications.
Well, just sitting in the RSL, enjoying a couple of cold ones, surrounded by Essendon scum, and I was enjoying it.
That's what you think, buddy.
Well, you know my thoughts on Essendon, so do the listeners, and glad for the win. Mm. They did it. A lot of the patrons there at the RSL did do the Port Adelaide and left with about 2 minutes to go when it was all over. It was quite good.
I'm all about the leaving early, I've got to be honest.
Really? If it's a tight game?
Well, if it's a tight game, I don't. But if it's, if it's... Although that game was kind of tight, I guess.
Bulldogs game was tight until the last probably 2 minutes when... Yeah. But the next game was the Pies taking on the Crows. The Crows should have probably won this by about 100 points, but forgotten how to win. They gave up a 50-point lead there in the third quarter to eke out a draw. How did the Pies fare there, Steve?
Well, they'd be disappointed, but these guys were out on their feet. They played a very taxing style, I thought, in the first half. Extreme pressure end-to-end running. But, I mean, what can you say? Pendlebury's obviously the issue. They've done quite well since he's been out of the team. Just trade him off, get pick 72, and you'll be right. But it was a massive game. Taylor Adams was absolutely enormous. Three first-half goals. Hate to say it, because Jono, you know me, I'm not a big Taylor Adams fan.
No, you are not.
But he should probably be the next captain of that football team. He is a leader in spades. 151 Dream Team, 144 Supercoach, fantastic. But probably the best player on the ground was Daniel Wells. Give him 34 disposals and he'll cut you up, and he did. Three goals to go along with his possessions. He looked unbelievable. 143 Dream Team, 130 Supercoach. It'll be a tragedy next week when he goes ping. Jeremy Howe really controlled things nicely off half back. Got you the big tons in Supercoach and big ton in Dream Team as well, I guess. Brady Grundy was good. Probably split the points with Jacobs, although Grundy got you a bit of fantasy score with his tons. Steele and Treloar, good Dream Team, lousy Supercoach. But, gentlemen, the GOAT.
Schoenberg
is looking the goods. Playing his, what, 10th game or something, he dominated off halfback and did something he hasn't really been noted for. And he was winning some contests, which was pretty impressive, I thought, up against the big forwards for Adelaide. Got to the 98 Dream Team, 86 Supercoach. Collingwood wanted to burn down the Lexus Centre or Holden Complex, whatever the bloody hell it's called, when he was rested last week or dropped or whatever you want to call it. But this man's about to get through a season of football.
Fingers crossed.
So, going early. So, you know, I'd certainly, hey, keeper leagues, he's probably on waiver wise. I'd consider picking him up. I mean, give him another preseason. Wow. Thought Darcy Moore was pretty stiff. He had 95 Dream Team. He was fantastic, though. He only had 67 Supercoach. But I thought he was awesome.
Like, he looked good.
Yeah. And Jordan Ngoi, he got his midfield time. He did have forward rotations as well, but only the 18 touches, and that was always the knock on him, that he wasn't a ball magnet, but he was an impact player. So he had the 10 contested in that, but he didn't build his score with anything over 20 touches, or he didn't kick any goals. So he only got you the, I think it was 60s score-wise. So, but he'll retain forward status, and he's a big man.
He certainly is. But with the Crows, there wasn't much to write home about. Matty Crouch, without his brother there, got to the 120s in both format and was fantastic as Sloan was tagged into the centre turf of the MCG. Brody Smith, yes, woo-hoo! He did well. Got to the Dream Team 106, 127 yes! in Supercoach. Kicked you a nice goal in that game. As yeah. Steve said, shut up, Stace.
He lift his average to 70.
68.95. As Steve said, Source broke even with Grundy. He just got you some nice 90 scores in both formats. Richie Douglas, you said, Steve, in the text message or the group chat just to get on him for over 87.5 fantasy points, which he did with 92 Dream Team and 102 Supercoach. Riley Knight and McKay got you some good Dream Team scores, but that was about it. Everything else was below par for the Crows. Still a game clear on top, but certainly going to get a home final. And the last game, it was all one-way traffic with the Crows destroying the Brisbane Lions, as we expected. Statesman.
Yeah, West Coast Eagles were their opposition, not the Adelaide Crows, but that's okay, mate. It's fair to say there was no major highlights in the game. JJK played well for his 115, just a great option up forward. Every club would like a full forward like that. Redden continues using up his opportunity well with 104. Luke Shuey looked like to come off with a injury. It looked like knee, then it looked like ankle, but he played through the game and did quite well with 102. Those on Sheed Island would be reasonably happy with another ton from him, 102. Sam Mitchell played very well, gentlemen. I think the broadcast was calling him the Lazy Susan. I don't know if he likes that tag or not. But tunned up as well. Jack Darling looks sensational, gentlemen, a long way from probably the finals flop as it was last year with 97. Gaff got tagged again, but did work through it. Looked like he was going to score quite low, but ended up pumping out a 94 for the game. Drew Peachy, as we talked about, finished off with 89. And Elliot Yeo continues sort of his mid-range form, gentlemen, with an 82. Certainly second half of the season average is about 15 points down from his first half average. His season average is just on the ton now, so he was about 110 halfway through the season. For Brisbane, Dane Beams, just remarkable game, and wouldn't it be nice if we could see him actually finish off the year and get 8 games straight? 144, just remarkable, gentlemen. Ryan Bassanach, who I think is still available on the waivers. I know Steve's been pretty hot on him in recent weeks, gave you 120. Steph Martin got in decent form, as most ruckmen do against the West Coast at the moment, and they only had Petrie to work against, got 113. Louis Taylor, who's actually been probably my second best pick in the drafts this year behind Matty Cruiser, turned up with 109, taking his average to around 80, and most leagues would have left him on the waiver wire. So a great pickup from the beginning of the season and been in great consistent form. Daniel Rich got tagged, gentlemen, but he worked through the tag, would you believe it, and scored a ton. Witherden continues his sparkling first season with 103 as well. Rockcliffe got freed up, was able to get the ball, but he's just not playing like the Rocky we know, only the 93. And Ryan Lester, another waiver wire player, scored 85 and doing quite well if you've got him in your forward line.
Yeah, and the final scores have come in, Statesman, and you've lost by 4 points in the Listener League.
Jared White.
Don't worry, I lost by 2 in the Keeper League.
Wow.
You boys suck.
Oh, that's right, I was still 2 games clear.
You're 3 games clear, actually, but it doesn't matter. But any questions this week, Steve?
No, I didn't put the call out. Yeah. It's tough on the weekend. I know people want the questions, but it's such a hard turnaround because there's no time between the game finishing and the podcast. So, look, we're always happy to answer the questions all over Twitter and Facebook, and we certainly think we do a pretty good job of getting back to everyone. So keep hitting us up. We're looking to do things for next year as well. Building
the wheels are in motion, Jerry.
Well, we're building our off-season show program because we don't stop, boys. Don't stop.
We do not.
So year-round fantasy content and a lot of big things for next year, maybe.
And it's just a reminder to all fantasy players and fantasy fans, we've all had a pretty tough couple of weeks with injury suspensions, form, and those damn taggers. But we get the chance to refresh. We're just about to start finals. And let's face facts, everyone's playing finals. It's just whether you're playing the minor finals or the major finals.
Exactly right. It's all about the cash leagues.
Well, we've already had a premiership roll in, boys.
We have.
Last week, we had our first flag. So people starting early.
Beat the team with Dangerfield as well. So
unbelievable.
That's crazy talk. So it can be done, people. If you've got danger in the team, they can be beaten. But I was going to say something, but I've completely forgotten what it was. But
were you drunk? It was Dry July. One more day.
I am opposite Dry July, my friend. I am taking up your slack.
Wet July. That sounds completely like a porno.
Quite possibly. I'll have to Google that.
What July? I don't know. Whatever. I'm sorry. What do you want? My best material's not out.
Until next week when the regular Steve will be back. He's looking very gaunt and pale without alcohol in his system. He needs a red or a beer or something in him. But that does wrap up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We are in finals, or if you have played your finals, please do send us through your results. Let us know if you have taken home the glory. Check us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, draftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's Dozen Deals, Statesman Skippers, and my late week pickups dropping each week right up until round 23. And check out Facebook, where we are, The Draft Doctors there. If you've played your first week of finals, well done if you made it to the prelim, just like I've beaten Steve, so I'm very happy about that. Got the week off, players coming back, got the cruisy side of the draw, so 350 clams up for grabs, Steve.
You're an asshole.
If you are starting your finals, good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.